I hope you're having fun this morning. You know, some people have this misconception that church is boring and you can't have fun there. I want you to have fun. And we still have more fun in store. I had a really good idea. I'm doing something. It wasn't my idea, but I had a little bit of an idea to alter it just a little bit, and I brought it up to Mike, and he steered me away from that. He said I might get in trouble if I did that. So this morning we have some gifts up here, and I want to give them out to some different moms here in the church. How do I pick, right? You know, we can't give these nice gifts for everybody. There's a candy bar in here too. Because I know ladies like chocolate. Who is the oldest mom in here? Am I allowed? Any moms in here over 90? Any moms in here over 90? B, are you the oldest mom today? 92 in August. You're welcome. So I don't know if you can guess what the next question might be. The youngest mom, any moms, any moms younger than, how old are you, Lori? Any moms younger than 29 in here today? Because I know how old my wife is too. I knew you were a little bit younger. Any moms younger than 29 here today? Or are they hiding? I thought there was one. Is she here? All right. We're going to get this to her. Laura, she's in the nursery. All right. Next one. Which mom has the most children? Anybody with more than 6 children? Anybody? Because I think there's 2 that are tied with 6. Virginia, how many did you have? 7. Okay, I was thinking 6 in my head. 7 kids. Anybody beat Virginia? Congratulations. I thought we were having some ties. Okay. What was my next question here? I have it written in my notes. I'm forgetting it. Oh, yeah. Who has the most grandchildren? Anybody with more than 15? You're counting them up in your head? Anybody with more than 15? How many? 18? Diane? 15? Anybody with more than 18? Sarah Kishpa with 18. Congratulations. So I still have a couple prizes left. What was the other ideas? Dave's the one that gave me the ideas. I only wrote down 4. What? Oh, yeah. A mom that traveled the farthest or their kid that traveled the farthest? Okay. Which mom traveled the farthest to come here today? Anybody come 2, 3 hours, 4 hours? Anybody? 2.5? Anybody beat 2.5? 3? Anybody beat 3? Neil's sister-in-law? Great. Hopefully you like pink. So I'm trying to figure out what to do special on Father's Day. Who's the most grizzled? You know, I don't know. there was a game show called Who's Most Grizzled. I'm weird, guys. That's all right. I'm losing control. moms are great, aren't they? And moms, over the years, they go through changes. Like with each child that they have, things sort of change. Like her clothes. With the first baby, she begins wearing maternity clothes as soon as the doctor, you know, says she's pregnant. With the second baby, she wears her regular clothes as long as she possibly can, right? The third baby, her maternity clothes are her regular clothes. I didn't think that was appropriate for me to say, but my wife said it was hilarious. My wife said, read it, okay? She was laughing hysterically. She said it was okay to read in church. Things change. Her concerns change. With the first baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, she picks up the baby. With the second child, she picks up the baby when her wails threaten to wake the firstborn. With the third baby, she teaches her three-year-old how to rewind the swing. The handling of the pacifier changes. With the first baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, it's put away until it can be taken home and boiled. The second baby, when the pacifier falls on the floor, it's washed off under the sink. With the third baby, it's just wiped off on the shirt, stuck back in, right? The way diapers are handled changes. With the first baby, you change your baby's diaper every hour, whether he needs it or not. With the second baby, you change their diaper if no one else notices the need within 1 hour. With the third baby, you wait till others start to complain about the smell, or you see the diaper sagging down to their knees, you know, doing the waddle. The home life changes. With the first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at that baby. With the second child, you spend a good bit of every day watching to make sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. With the third baby, you spend a good bit of every day hiding from the children. That was my favorite. I don't know. Well, this morning we're looking at a story from the Old Testament about two mothers. Now, there were several different options about what to call this sermon, what to title this sermon. The classic title was A Tale of Two Mothers. Okay, classic, right? The spiritual title, you know, if you want to sound super godly and super spiritual, the title would be A Mother's Sacrifice. Now, the trendy title, if you want to be super hip and cool, it's Will the Real Mother Please Stand Up? The generic title is just a Mother's Day sermon, right? But I chose A Baby and a Sword because I like swords, okay? I even thought about bringing one in here, and I thought about bringing in a baby, and then I thought you guys, ladies, would just freak out. So I don't want to do that. But what's recently happened in the nation of Israel is that their beloved ruler has died. King David, who has governed the country in just a really good way. He's ruled the land so well for so many years. He's passed away, and he's given the keys of the kingdom to his son Solomon. And to say Solomon was green, unexperienced, is really an understatement. But Solomon had something going for him. He loved the Lord. His father and his mother, even his mother, he writes about his mother Bathsheba caring for him and training him to love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And because of that devotion to God, God went to Solomon in a dream and asked him, I'll give you whatever you want. And what's really neat is Solomon didn't say, well, I'd love to be like my dad and be able to crush all my enemies. I'd like to just have riches untold or some, you know, worldly thing that we might think of if a genie said, I'll give you three wishes. Solomon didn't ask for any of that. What Solomon asked for was wisdom. He wanted discernment. And because God is a God who gives wisdom to those who ask, he received it. Now, it wasn't very long after Solomon had this dream that Solomon's abilities would be put to the test. One pastor called it the unsolvable dispute. And because of the way he handled this incident, he would be known for this for the rest of his life. And he would be known as the wisest man to ever live. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16. This is, "Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, 'Oh, my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us were in the house. And the woman's son died in the night because she laid on him, and she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born.' Then the other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.' And the first woman said, 'No, the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son.' And thus they spoke before the king. And the king says, 'The one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.'" That'd be scary, wouldn't it? "And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' And the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' And the other said, 'Let him neither be mine or yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." We have an outline this morning. It goes like, good mothers are this, good mothers are that. And the first point is, good moms aren't perfect. What a way to start off a sermon, right? Good moms aren't perfect. And what I mean by that is actually to encourage you. Because I know my wife, this happens, but sometimes moms beat themselves up because they desire for themselves perfection. Now, what does the Bible say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin's touched even moms. So please don't hold your imperfections above your head, because good moms aren't perfect, because no moms are perfect. And as we read this section of scripture, we see that these mothers here certainly were not perfect. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to encourage you in this way. If you ever feel bad about your mothering skills, read this story. You'll start to feel a little bit better, okay? I mean, as you read this story, think about it. These two women are hiring out their bodies. But even in this situation, you can realize that sin leads people into some dark, really messed up situations. And even then, when you find yourself at the lowest possible point in life, God is still interested in justice and mercy. And Jesus is the same way today, isn't he? Jesus, Solomon kind of was an example of what Jesus would do. Solomon took time with people, and Jesus was a master at that. He would take time with people, especially people who he knew weren't perfect. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. We looked at that just a few weeks ago. I mean, she was in a really bad situation. A sinner, right? Jesus talked to more than one prostitute. He talked to multiple different thieves. But all those people had something in common. They all needed love. they all needed to hear the truth and to be treated fairly. Now Matthew 9:11 says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. How many here are glad that Jesus was a friend of sinners? Yeah, amen. I'm happy about that, because if he was just a friend of the righteous, I never would have made it. None of us would have made it. But Jesus came down, he saw our imperfections, and he loved us, and he died for us anyway. Now, in that way, Solomon was very similar. He saw these two women, and in their case, it's heartbreaking. Their case is heartbreaking. Two ladies fighting over one child. And if you want to go a little bit deeper beyond the surface, that word that's translated women in verse 16, it's the normal Hebrew word that's translated wife. Now, most other places, like I say, it's translated wife, so you wonder why these two ladies are prostituting themselves. Did their husbands go off to battle and were they killed and they were left in a situation where they had no means of support, no money? Did their husbands just abandon them and leave them? Were they former slaves of some kind? Were they brought up in a history of abuse and they know no other way? There's no indication in the text that this was their purposefully chosen lifestyle. And apparently they were married at one time, but now their husbands are gone. For whatever reason, they find themselves single. They find themselves giving birth by themselves, 3 days apart. Apparently they had no money to hire a midwife. No relatives showed up. The relatives have probably turned the back on them because of their lifestyle years before. The neighbors won't talk to them. No one helped them, assisted them. These women are in a bad way. And we think, yeah, these women aren't perfect. One of these moms especially wasn't. One of these moms rolled over onto her child and smothered him. Occasionally you hear about stuff like that still today. And when we hear about something like that, our mind sort of drifts. At least my mind does. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I hear a story like that and you think, well, was she drunk? Was she on drugs? How could she not know, right? How could you be that careless? And to be fair, sometimes there are accidents. And no liabilities are assigned in this story. No blame is placed. So we're not really sure what happened. All we know is that the baby is dead. It's very sad. And this woman, this mother, her sadness is so great that she's overcome with grief. And she decides that that woman in the room next to her shouldn't be allowed to have a child if she's not allowed to have a child. And what started to creep up in her heart was envy and bitterness. She was so jealous that she got up in the middle of the night and switched babies. It's pretty wild, isn't it? Bitterness can cause us to do crazy things, unthinkable things, irrational things. And you're probably thinking in the back of your mind right now, you know about somebody that just did something totally off the wall because of bitterness. Because bitterness can cloud our judgment, and certainly this lady's judgment was clouded. Of course, the other lady, she immediately knew, right? There was a problem. So she demanded that her roommate give her back her baby. She was told no, she was took it, I'm sure, the case to the local authorities. Maybe it was the local police chief or something like that, except there was no witnesses. Nobody knew how to handle this case. It wasn't like they could do a DNA test. They didn't know what to do. So the local person bumped it to the next higher court and was appealed. And the genuine mother, she kept appealing until she had a hearing in front of the king. Which brings us to our second point. A good mom never gives up. A good mom always appeals to the highest authority. And today, who is that? God. Yeah. We appeal to the heavenly King. And this morning, we can be frank, right? Some of you moms have children in bad situations. Some situations that are so difficult that there's no human way to solve them. No amount of money will help. Sometimes all you are left with is an appeal to the Heavenly Father. The Almighty Creator, right? It's not like that's a bad thing. That's a great thing, an awesome thing, because we know God can do wonderful things. You know, sometimes I'm glad that the best option is prayer. You know why that is? Because I run out of ideas to fix things. I do. I don't know about you, but sometimes I move forward with no plan at all, and I just wing it. You know, I've built furniture like that. I just start cutting, nailing things together, and gluing, and it's not really the best way. And you see, with our Heavenly Father, when we go to Him, He always has a plan. And His way will always be best. We didn't sing this song this morning, but we sing it here sometimes. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Then that last part, right? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. I hope you're a mom that never gives up. Hope you're praying for your children. Hope you're praying for your grandchildren. Great-grandchildren, yeah. You know, as I look around this room, and I know many of you, and many of you have shared with me some very sensitive subjects, and I know that you're praying. Some of you are praying hard. Some of you are wearing out your slacks at the knees because you're on your knees that much. And that's what good moms do. They never give up. They pray, and then they trust God. A good mom, she knows she's not perfect. A good mom never gives up. And number three, a good mom knows her children. Isn't it interesting how moms immediately recognize their newborn children? Even if they're in that nursery hospital with like 20 other kids, I could walk up there as a dad and I'll be looking through, and if I can't read the labels, I'm not going to know who my child is. You kidding me? There's like 20 babies. They all look exactly the same pretty much. Some have hair, some don't, you know. Moms can sort them out. Sometimes, you know, we're looking at baby pictures at the house, and my wife, I'll say, which one is this? And she'll say, oh, that's Tom, you know, that's Waylon. I can pick out Evelyn. I'm not that bad. But, you know, Tommy and Waylon. But this woman, she could tell right away that this child was not hers. 3 days old. Because there's nothing like that connection a mother has, that mother's love. And she was never going to stop pursuing that child. She was going to, even if King Solomon gave her a bad judgment, she was never going to stop. Which brings us to point four. A good mom puts her children first. There are several ideas that we could pursue here. I don't know if we have time for all of them. The first mom, she's a liar, right? She's a thief. If she would have put as much thought and effort into caring for her baby, her son might still be alive. What she did was she took action too late. One pastor wrote, she shut the barn door after the horse had already escaped. And so many times people do this. We do this. We go to church after somebody in the family has fallen into grievous sin. Then let's make things right. We start praying and sitting down together and maybe starting the Bible together as a family after somebody's done something terrible. We try to make things right after the fact when we ought to be going to church, when we ought to be praying as a family all along. Now, with that being said, and this is kind of going down another rabbit trail, this mom, she wasn't all bad. I mean, after all, she didn't abort her baby. She didn't think, well, this baby could hurt my career. Both of these women, they had their child. I think we need to stop and consider something vitally important this morning. Maybe for you, Mother's Day stinks because your mom, growing up, lied to you all the time. Maybe your mom had so many question marks swirling around her. Maybe your mom just plain hurt you. Well, you can praise God this morning that at least she had you. Honor her for that. If you can't think of anything else, honor her for bearing you, giving birth to you. I mean, she could have aborted you. She didn't. You know, in the genealogy of Christ, and this is a whole nother study, I believe if I counted correctly, there's four ladies mentioned. Everybody else is men. There's four ladies that are mentioned. Three out of those four are adulterers or fornicators. Yet they are honored in spite of their questionable past. And this is partly because they had their children. They're willing to face whatever consequences they might have to endure because a good mom puts her child first. This is super important, ladies. Men, what you do for your children. I think most of us realize that in those days, women could not have a normal job like they could have today. So these boys would have been their support. As these women got older, it would have been these boys that are working to provide for them when they're old. Even in today's world, many times you want your children to help take care of you. That's why it makes no sense to be aborting these children. Who's going to take care of you? Well, Uncle Sam will take care of me, right? The hospital will take care of me. I just was talking to my aunt for a couple hours, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago on the phone, and she was telling me she was constantly after the hospital staff. Do this, do that, just to give her husband basic care. In the end, the best caregivers are probably going to be your children. But tons of people in this country, apparently they don't get that. A good mom puts her children first. Number five, a good mom makes sacrifices. The lady in the story was willing to give up her child and allow the other lady to raise her child in order for him to live. That mother's love, it's amazing. Her child's welfare was on her mind. And moms are like this. Moms do everything out of love. Dads do things because they have to, right? Now, don't get me wrong. We love our children. But a mom, as they're bathing their child, it's just all done out of love and tenderness. And let's guard your eyes. And I just get that hose and I'm like, you stink. You're dirty. Spray you off, you know? We're a little bit rougher. Is that a good way to describe it? But women, they do everything out of love. Dads are motivated more by logic. You're dirty. Women, no, I love you. Moms remember all the milestones, don't they? When their child takes the first step, when they roll over, when they say, Mama. It's incredible how mothers have these memories and they really probably make sacrifices to develop all these relationships. Yet as great as a mother's love is, as we leave here this morning, we all need to consider God's love is greater. And really, I think I said this earlier, the only reason women, mothers can love their children so well is because God first loved them. Look down at verse 21. And we'll wrap this up. This word, examined, is also sometimes translated considered. Do women ever contemplate or consider things? You know, I can see the wheels turning sometimes in my wife's head. I'm like, what? What are you thinking about? And she brings up something and talks about something, and women are constantly thinking. They second-guess situations. Men, not so much. But ladies, as you're thinking, as you're considering, I want to encourage you to do something. Use some of that think time to consider the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, consider him, and he shall direct your paths." Verse 24, one other thing, and then we'll be done. Because remember I said a baby and a sword? What brings out the truth? The sword. Now, in church, we refer to an item often in metaphor as a sword. What item is that? Anybody? The Bible, the Word of God, right? That kind of just... I made this connection, whether I'm spiritualizing the text, I don't know. I just made this connection. The sword, the word of God brings out the truth. And it was the word of God, it was the sword, right, that had to come out to get to the bottom of things. All I want to leave us here with this morning is moms and dads, get your children in the word of God as much as possible. God cares for these children so much, and this is his letter to all of us, his love letter to all of us, where he communicates this awesome plan where he sent his son, his only son, down to this earth to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death in our place. And then he came back to life. I mean, there's no greater truth that we can share to our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews than that incredible message. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for moms in this world. Lord, I don't know. Father, I would just pray even for some mothers around this community that maybe are considering aborting their child even this morning. I would pray that folks, whether it be the Crisis Pregnancy Center, maybe it's somebody in this audience, just would have the would be led by the Spirit and would encourage those ladies to go through and give birth. May we not stop with that ministry. Maybe we come alongside them and have an opportunity to disciple those women. I pray for those moms in here that have had children and had children decades ago that are still being moms. We're thankful for that awesome ministry that they have in our lives. Father, I even thank you for the moms that are here in the church that really aren't my mom, that love me and pray for me. Lord, we're just thankful for the sacrifices they make, for the work that they do, the ministries that they have. And I pray that all the while that they wouldn't get too discouraged, beat themselves up too badly, that they would get their encouragement from the truth in your word. Watch over all the moms today. We pray for these, my children and the other young children that are in here, that they would just have an exceptional day where they are obedient and kind and loving and sweet. Pray for the men in here that we would be cognizant, especially today, of our wife's needs. In Jesus' name, amen.